Siegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
And your coach allowed all of us to go back to wondering on whether or not he's qualified to be a head coach in the NFL.
Meaning what?
There have been too many times that we have been able to look and go, that's really weird. He's in year three.
Yeah, I feel like we could have possibly took a timeout or something to kind of get everybody situated, figure out who we're going to box out, kind of get everybody calmed down and just ready for that last play.
What's that? I had a discussion with Flus about it. Me personally, I think that had the corners pressed up there, maybe they convert to verticals and they actually run the Hail Mary. I'm not saying he doesn't have the arm strength, but you think about the ball maybe landing 10 yards shorter. He made the call, and, you know, that's what it was.
It was a good call by the whoever this coordinator was. That would be me.
Throughout the week of practice this past week, where there's moments where maybe some guys lay off here and there, and I would also say beauty of this game is that, you know, you disrespect it in a certain way, and it'll come to haunt you in some form or fashion.
Meaning what? Our culture is awesome.
Please disperse. Nothing to see here, please.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
That's a well-done open by Robbie Triano, who is sitting in for Tanny for a couple of days. This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Robbie's here. Shane's here. Spiegs is here. I'm Lawrence. I'm also here. We got you until 6 o'clock. There's a lot for us to discuss. Jason Leisure, who covers the Bears like a blanket, is going to join us in studio at 3 o'clock. You won't want to miss that. At 4:40, Steven Nelson, play-by-play man of the Dodgers, local man, is going to join us to talk about the World Series.
And we will get to Caleb Williams in the 5 o'clock. Most Bears Mondays have been full of Caleb dissection, and yesterday we barely touched on it because of the debacle that was Sunday's game. Let me see if I have this straight, Lawrence. DJ Moore, the wide receiver, openly questioned the timing of Doug Kramer being handed the ball on the goal line yesterday morning with Mully and Haw.
That is correct.
Kevin Byard, the safety, as you heard there.
The veteran all-pro safety.
Veteran all-pro safety. Openly questioned the corners not playing up on the second-to-last play in Sunday's game that set up the Hail Mary, right?
That's correct.
Okay, Cole Kmet called out the entire team for not respecting the game via Tyreek Stevenson's incident and called out the team for not practicing well and allowing bad habits and essentially loafs to go on during the week. And then Jalen Johnson on our show took what Cole Kmet said and went further.
Co-signed it.
And he also opened his conversation with us by saying he thought the team could have benefited from, guess what, a timeout before the Hail Mary so everybody could know what they were supposed to do. So that's half of the captains. That's half of the 8 captains yesterday.
And I imagine if Mercedes Lewis had a regular radio show, he would also have said those things.
Is T.J. Edwards one of the 8 captains, too?
He is.
Oh, so we could get to 5, depending on what T.J. Edwards had to say today with Bernsie and Harris. So, I mean, goodness, you've got this volume of players. All of these players, by the way, have a tremendous amount of credibility within the league and within the locker room as anointed captains and veterans. You've got them openly, you know, taking accountability and pointing at either people or Tyreek pointing at himself and saying, we got to own this stuff and get better. We got to get better, people. And meanwhile, the coach has yet to take accountability for anything from Sunday's game.
Would you like to hear from T.J. Edwards?
Let's see if we can make it 5 out of 8.
Okay, here's T.J. Edwards talking about whether or not guys on the defense, whether they should have or could have called a timeout.
I don't necessarily know if that's what we're, I guess, players thinking, especially like on defense, right? I think like quarterback is one thing, or, you know, it felt like, and again, like if I was looking back, like maybe I would have, right? But in the moment, you know, it kind of felt like we were on the same page.
Well, I'm not blaming you. Please don't take this as an accusation. I'm not accusing you. Oh, no. I'm just trying to figure out if you guys are coached and empowered to have that kind of agency.
Yeah, no, I think we definitely could. I think we definitely could as players, right? For sure. I think, you know, it might be a little bit easier on offense in some ways, but I think we definitely could for sure.
We talked to Jalen yesterday on Spiegel and Holmes. He talked about this and he said he didn't have the agency necessarily to do it. I'm just curious, is that something that you, the leadership council, is that something you'll take to the coaches and be like, hey, in this situation, for future purposes, maybe we should have some type of a plan? Is that come up at all this week?
Yeah, you know, we talked about that yesterday. Okay. We talked about, you know, in that moment, just to get everyone's composure, like maybe that would have helped, right? That would have helped to get everyone on the same page, make sure that everyone understands their job and all of that. And I think for future processes and for future, you know, scenarios in that moment, I know we'll be better from it, because, like I said, that one stings for sure. It stings, and it's something, you know, you really, I don't think you forget. And I've been a Bears fan for a long time too. So I've been a part of a lot of tough losses. So I lived through it all, but you know, it's one that, like I said, we got to get better from and got to understand that no one's going to feel bad for us. And we got to come in here ready to work tomorrow.
So there's another person that you can add to the conversation. Where I'm struggling with this, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, and I mentioned it during transition, I feel like my history tells me that this goes one of two ways. And I've seen it mostly go in the direction of the team is going to fall apart. What I'm hopeful of, what I really want to see happen, is for the coaches to understand the players' point of view, for them to then take accountability and say, we can be better at our jobs too. And that might mean them putting more accountability on players during practices, that sort of thing. And then the Bears rise from this. It's possible that they rise from this, and that would be the best part of the story. Unfortunately, we have already given them the benefit of the doubt in that regard, because earlier in the season, you had a situation that, again, multiple people who have played the game or coached the game looked at the situation with Shane Waldron in his first 15 and goes, that's very unorthodox. That I've never seen that be a thing. They rallied from it. Now, maybe that's because of what their schedule was immediately after that, but they rallied from it. I would love for them to rally from this, go down to Arizona, pick up a win, stack a win against the Patriots. But this is a very critical time period for the Bears coaching staff to get right.
Oh, absolutely. And I struggle to imagine them getting it right, because it would be a pivot of not just practices and public sayings. It would be a pivot of who they've already proven themselves to be as coaches. Look, I believe that people can grow and learn and evolve and change. I'm in my 50s and I'm working on stuff, and I'm a better man than I was 2 years ago, because you can work on stuff.
Can't find a better man.
Oh, God. Ever tell you about singing that at the worst gig of my life? Sometime.
All right.
Write that one down. Write that one down on your little yellow pad. Hi, little yellow pad.
Yes.
Your yellow pad. Lawrence is taking notes all damn show. He's writing stuff down. I don't know if you ever use any of that stuff. I don't know. All right. Well, write that one down.
Spiegel. Your worst singing moment?
Yeah, my worst gig ever. Worst gig ever. But let's do it sometime when it's not a Tuesday after a Bears game. Everybody's hustling and bustling and thinking about angry stuff. But that's a good story for sometime. But it's hard to imagine them making that pivot. Like, what does it look like? It looks like a guy trying to be something he's not at this point. Like, Eberflus has shown you what kind of coach he is, and you get to this point in the middle of year three by him showing you that he is going to allow players to be themselves and hope that they take over and name eight captains and hope that they've got a good group. Maybe this is why it's so important for them to find good players and to find a good group, because they don't really have a good firm leader in the coaching position. They don't seem to. So
I disagree with that. What? I would say at head coach, they might not have a firm leader. It's a really important position.
Seems
I get that.
Like an important one.
But I mean, we've talked about Eric Washington and we've talked about Richard Hightower. So I think there is at least a couple of coaches, and I'm also a huge fan of John Hoke, the defensive backs coach.
Sure. But you know what? I am too. But I'm struggling with the head coach and the offensive coordinator. Those are the guys who apparently need to be coached up.
Those are big
by
problems.
The players. Dude.
Those are big problems.
That's where we are. The leadership council saved the offensive season 3 weeks ago, and now they got to try and save the defensive season, the overall head coaching season here.
So here's where another place where I find myself in kind of philosophically working through some of this stuff,
right.
Now that I've gotten a lot of my anger out yesterday, is it good coaching?
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, all right, problem solved.
There's more to that?
Yes.
My mistake.
Does it end up being
yes.
good coaching?
No.
If you then end up in a place where now the offensive coordinator understands how to coach the offense,
yeah.
and the head coach ends up understanding how to handle everything that goes with being in charge of the sideline. If we get to that place by the end of the year, does Ryan Poles go, you know what?
We've taken the time to train these guys how to do the job we hired them for. And
yes.
so now we're going to let them stay in that job.
And I wonder if it turns out successfully, how and why could they? I mean, I know why they could justify making a change. But if the players are able to overcome this, do you then give credit to the coaching staff for allowing the players to be in charge?
Merely 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I answered that with a yes on the offensive coordinator part of it.
It's part of the reason I brought it back up.
I answered that with a yes in terms of like, well, they got the offensive coordinator, to do some things the way they wanted to do. And kudos to him for responding to it. We're still talking about a theoretical of Matt Eberflus showing up tomorrow and being accountable and also stripping himself of play calling on defense. Those are the two things that we'd like to see. Right?
Yes.
Two things that we'd like to see tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, I very much would like to see both of those things. And would that be an indication that he's taken the feedback and made a pivot? The accountability, it's bigger than the first 15. That's the thing. This is the head coach, not the OC. And human accountability is a bigger thing to ask to change than here are the first 15 plays on a piece of paper or in a file. That is a bigger thing. That is a character trait that takes work to change.
Okay, well then we have to have bigger questions again where we start talking about your hiring process.
Oh, yes, we do.
And if we go back to us talking about the Cliff Kingsbury thing,
yes, we should.
And it allows us to kind of look at things in a different context where Cliff wasn't very happy with seemingly from his responses to talk of the interview process with the Bears didn't seem like it was great.
Because he had no shot at it and he knew it and he didn't want to say so.
Then that's problematic.
I agree. That problematic is and it goes higher than the Flus in that way. It absolutely goes to Ryan Poles. I think Poles is good at putting a roster together. I like a lot of what he's done. It hasn't been perfect, and Lord knows we could talk about that, and we have and we will. But in terms of the hiring, yeah, I got massive Ryan Poles questions. I have massive Ryan Poles questions when it comes to Eberflus and then allowing Eberflus to pick Waldron, allowing Eberflus to pick the guys he picked last year and the year before. Some of those guys were clearly overmatched.
You could argue that the two offensive coordinator hires have been botched.
Yeah, and those are important jobs.
Yeah.
He got
especially when you have a rookie quarterback who's trying to figure it out.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, no, we can go higher. We can absolutely go higher if you want to.
Sure. All right, well, how about this? There are a lot of people their listening habits are different, okay? Maybe they weren't listening to Jalen or they didn't get a chance to see it on social or whatever. We need to lay that back out for listeners of the Spiegel and Holmes show. Because if you're listening at 2:45, maybe you're not listening at 5:00. But I want to talk about it too. Because when you're in it, it's hard to just kind of react to it because you want to ask the right next question.
Yeah.
Let's listen to some of the Jalen stuff when we come back and then react to it.
No, I think we should because it had a life all last night. You check back on social media.
Nationally.
That thing was getting played, and I was hearing from people all over the country in media last night.
Yep, so let's hear that. Let's discuss it with you. It's Spiegel and Holmes. You're going to hear from Jalen Johnson about the Bears next on The Score.